Today on the Travel Guys.
In the news, flight cancellations and delays continue as Southwest Airlines scrambles to return older re-inspected aircraft to the runways.
Well, with summer travel season just around the corner, our travel roundtable today gives you the opportunity to avoid rookie mistakes that many travelers make.
At 2:45, our entertainment segment features two exciting local arts productions.
And inviting you to call in and be part of the show today. All of that coming up
on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Hit the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. Out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome to the Travel Guys. This is Tom Romano, former professional broadcaster. I don't know, Mark. I looked down and I saw words, and then it just kind of started to fade to black.
What in the world is he reading?
I don't
know. You folks need to know that the headlines, we write them up ahead of time and we talk about them and before we come into the studio, because that's a little different opening to the program than most programs.
Yes, it's called a tease.
It's called a tease, exactly.
I hope they were teased at not being able to understand what the heck I was talking
about.
Well,
perhaps a little confused, but that's I was entertained, if nothing else. So the travel guys were certainly entertained. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. Glad to have you back in town. We'll talk about where you've been. And I were fortunate enough to have the... I don't know if this is quite right, the third leg of the travel guys here today.
Yeah, Clayton Whitehead is in studio with us today, and we're going to talk about those rookie travel mistakes, and because we see them on the road all the time, and you're one of the people who make them.
We just kind of did a little overview before the show began, and I can't even begin to tell you how many of the mistakes that I make.
So the summer travel season is coming up, so let's see if we can help people avoid some of them. And if you have a pet peeve that happens when you're going through security or getting on the airplane or something like that you'd like to share, we would welcome you to give us a call at 921-1530 when we get into that segment of the show a little bit later on.
All right, and we begin the program, as always, with the travel news, and Mark has quite a handful. Do we have there we go. We have the famous Mark Hoffman trio.
That's
playing
it.
In the background.
Yeah, on
Mark
cue. We've got lots about the whole situation with Southwest Airlines, but we're going to save that for after the news, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Let's talk about a few things that are perhaps a little bit lighter items in the travel news area for today. Some middle-aged waitresses who were fired by Resorts Casino Hotel in Atlantic City are suing the hotel, alleging they were let go because they didn't look as good as younger colleagues in new skimpy costumes. Seven former cocktail servers are listed as plaintiffs. 15 women were let go after a modeling agency's evaluation, the report says. Quote, as far as I'm concerned, a man or woman can do that job at any age as long as they have a good personality, a good memory, and good balance. That's a spokesman for an attorney representing the plaintiffs told the paper.
Well, what about the nice legs?
Well, where are you going to draw the line? Obviously, didn't Hooters go through this a couple years ago?
Yes.
And didn't Hooters win, I believe?
They did. It's basically, it's kind of like a play. They're typecasting people to perform or to be part of the staff.
And if
therefore,
you can't play
the
part anymore,
they can be a little more selective.
Wow. All right. Here's something kind of interesting. The Majestic Main Branch of the New York Public Library is seeking 500 people to spend the night there on a scavenger hunt designed to tap into their inner creativity and potential as they explore its miles of rare treasures. The hunt, called Find the Future, the Game, was created for the library's centennial celebration. Would-be scavengers at the Midtown Manhattan Library can register on a website that launched Friday. Each needs to complete a written challenge or quest for the chance to play the game, which starts on May 20th at 8 p.m. and ends the next morning at 6 a.m. Taking a page from the hit movie A Night at the Museum, the 500 participants, working in groups of eight, will explore the magnificent marble interior of the Fifth Avenue Library. In keeping with the library's 100th anniversary theme, Find the Future, the players will be looking for 100 objects with clues where to find them appearing via an application on their mobile device.
Very, that's a lot of fun.
That sounds like a way cool. Tourists have begun to return to Egypt only a couple of months after the revolution that ended a dictator's 30-year stranglehold. Luxor and other Egyptian cities remain eerily empty of the 15 million annual visitors who contribute to 11% of its economy. U.S. tour companies are resuming their operations there, several floating discounts of up to 50%, and this week the State Department eased its warning to remove a recommendation that Americans defer non-essential travel. Other countries have lifted advisories as well, but by many accounts, tourism is down by 75 to 90%, still better than February when foreigners made a mass rush for the exit. So there you have, if you are a slightest bit adventurous, why, then it's time to go to Egypt. You can get a price that you will never see again, I'm guessing, on Egypt packages.
Thank you, Mark. There's the travel news.
Whoop, turn your microphone on, Tom. Thank you, Mark. There's the travel news, and I'm no longer standing across the room. You've just, speaking of Egypt and travel, you've been a long ways away.
I was. I just came a week ago today. I listened to the Travel Guys streaming live on KFBK.com. I had to trick the computer, though, because Clear Channel doesn't allow international people to tap into their feeds.
Really?
From overseas.
Okay.
So I had to trick the computer into thinking that I was actually in the United States. And once I figured out how to do that, well, I was able to listen to the to the live feed on the radio. I guess we're giving away something here that we recorded last week's program. But anyways, I was in Prague last Saturday night and in the Czech Republic. What an incredible city. I had not been there for like 8 or 9 years. And it is... really, you know, Prague is the city that Adolf Hitler skipped during bombing during World War II because he thought it was so beautiful. He wanted it for part of his empire.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a lot of old things that other cities are, you know, Dresden, 100 miles to the north, was basically blown off the map. So it is just there are castles and cathedrals. And every day about 3 o'clock, people will appear on the streets of Prague with handbills advertising classical music concerts that usually start around 5 and around 8. Many places have 2. And they're all over town, very inexpensive. Some of them are terrific. Some of them not so terrific. But and there are just so many things to see and do. You could walk around in Prague for an entire week and never see the same thing twice.
Now, there had to have been a couple of super highlights that stuck out in your mind. First of all, your best dining experience.
Best dining experience. Now, this is going to sound weird, but it was at the Marriott Hotel in Amsterdam. They have a wonderful restaurant there. I had steak, and my guest had fresh fish, and it was just absolutely awesome. In Prague, we found a wonderful little place, but I don't know I could tell people where it was exactly. I didn't write it down. You know, that happens when you're out bumming around.
A couple of miles from home.
Yeah, exactly. It's the downside to Prague is they're in the European Union, but they don't have the euro yet, so you're still working with crowns over there. It's a different currency, but so that's a little bit of a pain in the rear end, especially for a couple-day visit. We were in Amsterdam. That was our gateway city. I just want to tell you, you know, people look at Amsterdam as being the sin capital of Europe, and it was the places with all the bordellos and everything. All that has really mellowed a lot. And it's not as
a
much...
A mellow bordello.
Well, it's not as much in the forefront, but it's still the place where people from Europe go for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It has this... And people in Holland, in the Netherlands, speak impeccably perfect English, way better English than people speak in London. And so they're easy to understand, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place. Amsterdam also very pedestrian friendly. Trams that run all over town. Of course, lots of museums, and we were there right at the beginning of the flower season. Went out to the big garden, Keukenhof gardens that are just where the tulips were just starting to bloom. In another couple of weeks, they will be spectacular. But it was a wonderful trip, and I hadn't been in Europe for quite a while. Carry-on luggage in Europe was kind of interesting because people over there, they don't – your one bag is included in the price of your ticket. So a lot of people are not trying to avoid a charge by bringing a bag on the plane. There's all kinds of carry-on room. It was like night and day. It was amazing. But
now I'm guessing that the reason that you visited was that Sports Leisure Vacations may be planning some trips.
Yeah, we're planning. We are visiting Prague in the fall with a trip that goes to Poland, and also we're looking at something with Holland next year. Floriade, which is a every 10-year floral celebration, is going on there. So, anyways, it was a good trip. Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam is the best place to change planes in Europe. Absolutely, hands down, was 10 years ago, still is. And traveling in the shoulder season is a great idea because the planes are not as full, and you'll be a lot more comfortable. So
the shoulder season, folks, let me tell you what, no, I...
The shoulder season.
That is the season that isn't the main season.
All right. When we come back, we have on the line with us a lady who was on Southwest Airlines Flight 812. She will join us and tell us about her experience. Clayton Whitehead is here to join us for the Travel Roundtable. We're going to talk a little bit about airlines and rookie travel mistakes and all that kind of stuff right here on the Travel Guys. You're listening to News Talk 1530, KFBK. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. This is KFBK News Talk 1530. I'm Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. In studio with us is Clayton Whitehead. And joining us live on the phone right now is Shauna Malvina. Am I pronouncing that right, Shauna?
Malvini Redden.
Okay, thank you very much. And you were a passenger on the Southwest flight Friday night coming up to Sacramento from Phoenix. And your life has been kind of interesting. I was reading your blog this morning and some of your tweets and stuff, and your life has been kind of interesting in the last few days.
It has been a very strange 48 hours.
Starting with a hole blowing in the airplane that you were traveling in, and you've been a guest on national television programs, and I gathered from your blog that you were just hoping to get a little bit of rest.
Yeah, yesterday I had people calling me from the time I was on the plane to last night, all day. I tried to shut the phone off, and then my home phone rang, so I gave up and just talked to people. And then today I'm talking to you guys, and I talked to NPR an hour ago. It is just, it's the strangest couple days ever.
Well, Shauna, you're a blogger, and you've written about your experience online, and we will tie your blog site to travelguysradio.com so folks can go there and can read what you said. But please tell us. I fly in airplanes 150 times a year. I've not had the roof come off one yet. It must have been a fairly harrowing experience.
Yeah, it was the most terrifying moments of my life. I fly every other week, 70, 80 times a year, so I'm really comfortable flying. Don't really ever expect anything to happen to me, especially on Southwest, which has a really good safety rating. But to hear an explosion, my ears just hurt, covering my ears, ducking down, seeing those masks come down. They'd never been used before, clearly, and so having to pull them down to get the oxygen and shaking while I'm doing it. And I joked with a flight attendant after we landed. I was like, I promised to pay attention during the safety briefings again because I'm fumbling my mask even though I've heard the words 100 times. But it was absolutely frightening.
Shauna, Clayton Whitehead here. You've spoken about you're going to pay attention next time. What other things do you think you'll do differently in the future when you fly? Or perhaps you're going to think twice about flying in the future?
I'm not thinking twice about flying. I go to school at Arizona State, and my husband lives in Sacramento, so I am flying all the time, and I'm pretty comfortable with it. I'm not scared to fly again. I'm scheduled to fly on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday of this week. But in terms of what I would do differently, I suppose just paying attention to the safety. Although I've had some experience doing it now, so I could probably
do a safety
demonstration.
Shauna, were you wearing your seatbelt?
I was wearing my seatbelt.
What would you recommend that it based on what's happened to you now? And I know Mark talks about this all the time, that if you're in your seat, you should have your seatbelt on because at any time something could happen.
Yeah, my husband's a general aviation pilot, and he always yells at me if I'm not wearing my seatbelt. And, you know, I fly all the time, and I have a cavalier attitude about it. You know, sometimes I don't wear my damn seatbelt. But thinking about the Aloha flight, and if we had had a major incident and I was not strapped in, I could get sucked out of the plane. It's as simple as that. So even though this may never, ever happen to me again, I will have my seatbelt strapped down from here on out, and I recommend that everybody else does too.
Shauna, I really thank you for taking a couple minutes and calling us today. I know it's been a very hectic couple of days for you, and so we won't keep you for a long time here. Thank you for your time. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your experience with us. And again, we'll point folks towards your blog so they can read not only about your experience here, but some of the other cool things you've written about.
Cool. Thanks. It was nice talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you, Shauna.
Bye.
So, boy, I'll tell you what.
Makes a good point for seatbelts. Roofs don't always blow off, but turbulence happens on nearly every flight I'm on.
I will tell you, if there is any takeaway from this whole thing, it is when you get on the airplane, fasten your seatbelt. When you come back from the restroom, fasten your seatbelt. Keep your seatbelt fastened. It's just, I will never forget the day a plane was backing up in Dallas, and all of a sudden, apparently there was a plane behind the pilot, and he didn't know it, and it became aware to him, and he slammed on the brakes. And, I mean, he's only moving very slowly, but when he slammed on the brakes, it threw everybody up against the seat in front of him. And everybody who didn't have their seatbelt on hit the seat in front of them. It didn't hurt anybody, but it was the perfect – if I remember that day like it was yesterday, because I said to myself, there's your example of why you have the seatbelt on. And that really is probably the most critical takeaway from this.
We have about 3 minutes before we take our break at the bottom of the hour for news. Mark, I know you had a whole bunch of great information that Aaron didn't get to in the news.
Well, Aaron covered some of it. Southwest basically has 540 of these planes in their 540 planes, period, in their fleet. 170 of them are 737-300. So roughly a third of the fleet is involved here. And of that third, 80 of those planes, 79, had not previously had the skin replaced. So they're older aircraft. So that means that more than half of them had. So we're dealing with the 79, which is about 15% of their total fleet, which is about how many flights they're canceling. They've had a half a dozen cancellations at Sacramento this morning. I was perusing the site before we came in here, and the delays don't seem to be quite as much in depth as they were yesterday. So perhaps they are returning some aircraft. We can't find anybody from Southwest to talk to today. I mean, literally, we've left a gazillion messages. It was easier to get a passenger from the aircraft than it was Southwest, which is a little bit disconcerting to me. And it is true. What was reported earlier is that aircraft had been in for an inspection last year in March. They found 8 cracks in the fuselage at that time, which is not uncommon on older aircraft. They fixed them and put it back into service, and it hadn't. It wasn't that the airline had done anything wrong, but as was suggested by someone reporting on CNN earlier today, the last time this happened was a Southwest airline, and the time before it happened on that was an Aloha airline. What do those two airlines have in common? They do a lot of takeoffs and landings with their aircraft. They do a lot of short-haul trips, and that puts extra stress on the fuselage. So the theory is perhaps that maybe that's the place that they need to look. But again, Southwest, in all fairness, Southwest has an excellent safety record, and they pulled those aircraft out immediately, which has always been their policy, is to err on the side of safety. So I have to give them credit for the fact that they responded immediately, and even though it's causing a nightmare for them in terms of rebooking passengers and all that kind of stuff, why they did a good job of getting those aircraft out of the sky. So you're not going to fly on one that hasn't been reskinned or reinspected. So I think that's probably the other thing that we need to communicate to people, is that Southwest is working to return those planes to the sky after they have been inspected.
Aaron, coming up with the news at the bottom of the hour, then we're going to be returning with Clayton Whitehead and Mark Hoffman here on the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program, and we're going to go over those rookie travel mistakes that people like myself, who don't travel as much as Mark and Clayton do, and they're going to share some really cool information as to how to move through and not be one of those people that make the travel rookie mistakes. That's all coming up right here on the Travel Guys. Welcome to the Travel Guys, and yes, folks, we are born to be wild. Make no mistake about it. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, and Clayton Whitehead, also from Sports Leisure Vacations. He's known as the The on the road guy.
The road reporter.
What are you? The tour.
I'm the tour guy and the road reporter.
His car broke down outside the station today, and so we just asked him to come in and join us.
No,
just kidding.
Yeah, Mark, what do we got?
All right, we've talked about this for a couple weeks, so we've had trouble making room for it because we've had so many breaking news stories. But rookie travel mistakes and how to avoid making them. And there's a link to this on our website at travelguysradio.com. So if you're driving around and you want to see what these are later on, you can go and look at them. But some of the things that people do that absolutely would irritate the heck out of you if you were an experienced traveler, and if you're an inexperienced traveler, some of these tips are things that would make your life a little bit easier.
So you're going to basically share with us all the stuff that
let me give you an example.
When you're traveling,
first
right?
First thing, okay. You go into the airport. Well, I confess there's a story here from Fox News' website that's a couple of weeks old that kind of kick this off for me. But first thing, you go into the airport, you're standing in line for 5 or 10 minutes to get to the security counter, and a lady in front of you or the gentleman in front of you gets there, and they've been standing there for 5, 10 minutes. What have they been doing? Picking their nose? I don't know. But they don't have their wallet out. They don't have their purse open. They don't have their identification is still inside of their wallet, and they have to take it out. So, I mean, that's the first thing is take your ID out and have it available so that the security guys – and then when you get to the security lane – how, Clayton, you certainly have seen this a lot of times.
Oh, amen to that.
How you put your stuff on the belt has a great deal to do with how fast that line moves.
Really?
Your shoes should always be the first thing to go through, your shoes.
You take your shoes off and you put your shoes on the belt because when you get to the other side of the belt, you need to put your shoes on before you can go anywhere, and that gives you something to do.
So shoes,
yep.
Pants.
No, well, shoe.
Jacket.
Shoes first, and then your computer. Okay, if you've got a computer,
then computer.
Yeah,
the electronic items are going to be scrutinized longer by the TSA person who's looking in the X-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So you want the easy things to go through first, so you can be dressing or redressing while you wait for the computer.
So you got your shoes, and then you've got your bucket probably with your jacket and your wallet and your cell phone. That's second. So now you've got your shoes on, and there comes your jacket. You can put it on. Now here comes your computer, and you pick it up. And now that the way the TSA guy, or you can set the bin down at the end. Next comes the briefcase that your computer is in. You set it in, and there comes your carry-on bag, and you're gone.
Very cool.
See how easy that is?
Yeah. It's easy.
It's amazing how many people, though, do not do it in that order, and no. They put their shoes on in the very last thing.
Yes.
So then all it takes is one or two people, especially in smaller airports where those line things aren't quite as long, and the whole line is sitting there, and you wonder why everybody's waiting. It's because too many idiots came to the airport that morning.
All right. Let's move to onboard the plane.
Okay. One thing is carry-ons.
Bin hogs,
yes, absolutely. People who bring a bag that doesn't fit wheels, either wheels first or handle first, either way you want to do it, and they have to turn it sideways. Now, that carry-on space is being shared, if you're in coach, with 5 other people. So you have now effectively taken 2/3 of the space, and you are one person. What are those other people supposed to do?
And then they'll inevitably take their jacket and fill the other one.
Oh, yes,
with
yeah.
They'll
lay their jacket down next to the suitcase, despite the flight attendant's suggestion that please hold on to your jackets and coats until all the bags are up there, and then you can put your jacket up on top. And inevitably you get on, and somebody has laid their $300 Italian rare wool sport coat out in the whole damn carry-on.
And while they're being a bin hog, they're also being an aisle hog, because, of course, they're standing in the aisle while they're fiddling around with all the stuff up in the bin.
So the deal is you get on the plane, you put your stuff in the bin, you step out of the aisle, now you take off your jacket and whatever, and you just wait for a break in the action, and now you can put your jacket on top of your bag or whatever it is that you're going to do. It's just little courtesies that when you're the last boarding area on the plane, you're going to really appreciate because somebody took the time and the effort to leave a space for you. And speaking of boarding the plane, nothing could be more irritating than people who are in like the 97th boarding group and they feel like that they need to stand immediately in front of the ticket scanner for the aircraft. And from 20 minutes before the plane starts to board, while everybody has to go around them, and if English is their fourth language, I can understand that, and I appreciate they came to visit us, and I'll cut them some slack. But for people who just don't know better, get out of the pick and way until your number is called.
Nearly every domestic airline in America now has either zones or boarding groups printed clearly on the boarding pass. Stay in your seat until yours is called. It's really easy.
It's not, I mean, really. It's not. And speaking of staying in your seat, Tom, surely you've experienced this. Another rookie mistake, or this isn't a rookie mistake. This is a rudeness mistake. Somebody who the plane lands, mm-hmm. the first thing they do is jump up. The seatbelt sign hasn't even gone off. The plane hasn't even stopped moving yet to the gate. They're already up, and they've got the overhead bin open, and they've pulled out. God only knows what happens to the rest of the stuff in the bin. They grab their bag with no concern for the rest of it, pull it out, and start down the aisle. And they're three or four rows down the aisle before the seatbelt sign goes off. And it's like, where did you think you were going? Did you think you were going to get to the door before they opened it? Or it's just kind of, you know, we're all going to the same place together. And when we get there, we're all going to get off within a couple of minutes of each other. And, I can understand if your mother is dying and you're desperately trying to make a connection or something. But it just seems like that a little common courtesy really would go a long way.
Not to mention the fact it's not safe. I mean, what if the plane slams on brakes? They could fall, hurt themselves, worse yet, drop their carry-on on somebody else's head and hurt them too.
Or something comes flying out of the carry-on because, as we know, shift happens, the old Southwest joke.
Yeah, there you go. So what you recommend is you stay in your seat until the seatbelt light goes off, and then how do you proceed?
Well, then you just courteously get up and get off the airplane. I mean, that's real easy. It's just don't be discourteous.
When your turn comes.
You don't own the airplane. I don't care if you're in first class. There are 8 or 12 seats there, and it's a shared community. It's a shared space. You have to be courteous to each other because you are in a community with those people for whatever period of time. As our guest earlier in the program found out, and you go to her blog, she'll tell you about her new best friend forever that she met on the airplane while they were when all of this was going on, because you become very close to the people who are seated next to you when a hole blows in the top of the airplane that you're on. Okay, so now you're on the ground and you've gone someplace, and let's say like I had to do in Prague the other day, show your passport. You're a foreigner, you're entering the country, and you have to show your passport, and now you're quickly putting your passport away because you're headed towards baggage claim or out to the street to get a cab or a bus or a train or whatever. And so you take that passport, and instead of putting it back in the really safe place that you normally keep it, you stuff it in the outside pocket of your backpack, and you throw the backpack on your back, and five people have just watched you do that, and one of them is a pickpocket. And he's going to follow you right onto that train, and he's going to take that passport out of that zipped package, and he's got the pocket, and he's going to zip it back up and have the passport and be gone, and you're not even going to know that he was in there.
Man.
So really and truly, take the time when you're traveling to put your passport in a secure place where you know where it is. And the other tip, of course, is about carrying a copy of your passport. Clayton, you do a lot of international
Absolutely.
Trips.
I make all of my travelers make a Xerox copy of the inside front cover of their passport. Of course, that's not a legal document if you lose your passport. But imagine what help that would be to the people at the embassy to have all the code numbers and all the information right there. And I will say, coming back from Iceland a couple years ago, I lost my passport. I dropped it in an airport. Airport security picked it up. Because I had that Xerox, I could prove to them without a shadow of a doubt that that was my passport. I got it back right there on the site. So it came in handy for me, and I'm a travel professional.
Rookies with cameras. This is another rookie mistake. You go to a foreign country or even to the United States. You go to somebody, and they're performing their craft. They're doing whatever. They're dressed in costume or native attire or whatever, and you want to snap their picture. Now, you know, it is incredibly inappropriate when they're in their native natural surroundings. I mean, you need to ask permission. You need to ask if it's okay. And in many cases, it is appropriate to pay the person something for the privilege of taking the picture, because that's part of the way that they make their living. And they provided that photo opportunity for you. So a few shekels is not inappropriate to leave. Or at least offering to leave a few shekels certainly then creates an attitude that American tourists are, you know, not all bad people. And finally, one last thing about vacation traveling is they're talking about people with RVs, and they're talking about people when they're backing into the campsite. There's always one person, and there's one person outside that's directing the RV, mm-hmm. and that person is always screaming at the top of their lungs at the driver. If you've ever seen this, it's hysterical. And of course, the driver can't hear you because the driver's inside the RV. But everybody else in the campground can hear you. So especially if you arrive late at night, by a little courtesy to your fellow campers. Anyway, that's just some of the common rookie mistakes that travelers make that aggravate the bejesus out of some of us. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFPK. We'll be right back with the entertainment part of the program. Are you a mature traveler who enjoys the safety, security, and camaraderie of traveling to exciting destinations with an established, reputable tour company? If that sounds like you, we'd like to introduce you to Sports Leisure Vacations. For the last three decades, Sports Leisure has been known for offering exciting travel packages to the most popular destinations. Our summer schedule includes Victoria, British Columbia, Yellowstone National Park, the Gilroy Garlic Festival, the Canyonlands of Utah and Arizona, and that's only a sample. Sports Leisure Vacations also offers day trips to see regional theater and enjoy festivals and attractions within a couple hours' drive of Sacramento. First-class travel without the hassle. We even pick you up at your home on extended vacations. Call us at 361-TOUR, that's 361-8687, or visit us 24/7 on the web at sportsleisure.com. Sports Leisure Vacations, Sacramento's premier take-you-places company.
California Backyard's anniversary sale is underway with savings up to 30% off the best quality patio furniture in the world, plus pay no sales tax.
Choose from over $6 million of patio furniture inventory, dining sets, seating groups, umbrellas, barbecues, and more.
All styles, all finishes, backed by California Backyard's satisfaction guarantee.
Spring into summer with savings up to 30% off and pay no sales tax.
California Backyard, over 40 years of making backyards beautiful.
Roseville, Natomas, Gold River.
And now in Sacramento on Arden Way.
Visit CaliforniaBackyard.com.
This is a message for all men dealing with frequent urination. Every man who calls right now will learn how to try our best-selling supplement, Veda Prostate, for free. You only pay a small shipping and handling fee. Veda Prostate is made with a breakthrough ingredient shown to support a strong urine flow, and it reduces waking at night from the urge to urinate. Call now to learn about this Veda Prostate free bottle giveaway. Just call 1-800-816-9284. That's 1-800-816-9284.
KFPK Sacramento and KHLX HD3 Pollock Pines.
Welcome back. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK every Sunday from 2 to 3. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, and it's the entertainment portion of the program that we're rolling into right now. And Clayton, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Thanks so much, Tom. I'm Clayton Whitehead, the tour guy, and I am very pleased to be joined in the studio by my good friend Jim McCormick, the president of one of Sacramento's absolutely best cultural resources. I'm, of course, speaking of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. Jim, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Clayton. It's great to be here.
And I understand you have a very exciting concert coming up shortly where we're going to hear a little Broadway.
We sure are. You know, it's time for the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra to sort of let their hair down. Our mission is basically classical music, but we cross over to Broadway, and we cross over very well. This will be the first time that we will have offered a Broadway performance at Mondavi. And you know yourself, the acoustics there are great. We're looking forward to having a lot of fun with this show. It's a show wrapped around songs that deal with love, easy to love, all Broadway tunes. And they're from the great Rodgers and Hammerstein, Jerome Kern, Cole Porter,
Lorenz Hart, outstanding composers who are probably, they've established the legacy of great musical theater in the U.S. and the world. And we'll also throw in some Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Excellent, excellent. Easy to Love, that's Saturday, April the 30th, 2011, at the Mondavi Center over on the campus of UC Davis, 8 p.m. Now, Jim, what's the best way to get tickets?
Well, I think the best way is to simply call the Mondavi box office directly at 1, toll-free, ladies and gentlemen, 1-866-754-2787. You could also visit sacramentochoral.com, and we can guide you there.
Excellent. Well, we're certainly looking forward to the concert. I've been a big fan of your orchestra for quite some time.
Jim, what's this orchestra and your group has quite a local history here. I mean, this is not brand new.
It's this is year 15, folks, of careful management financially and musically. And we're really proud that we are probably, as an arts group, I think being on this show is a real honor because we are probably the arts group that has traveled the world the most in the last decade. And it makes perfect sense. In music, great music and education, a sense of community that we build together while we travel. We did Carnegie Hall back in 2003, and that was simply an amazing experience. We wandered down to Disney Hall in L.A. just a couple years ago. We went up to Canada, to Victoria and Vancouver back in 2009. And then in 2004, we went to Prague. I heard, Mark, you were just there recently. Prague, Vienna, Munich, and Budapest with fabulous orchestras, outstanding concert halls. And then in 2006, if you can believe it, we took 220 people to the Republic of China Can you imagine the bathroom wait?
Oh, my gosh.
But it was outstanding. The Forbidden City Concert Hall in Beijing, it was these memories are unbelievable. And our recent documentary that came out, sponsored by KVIE, pointed out these tours and the sense of community that great music brings, especially when we go national and internationally.
Excellent. Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming.
I do have a question. Jim, the Sacramento Choral Society, it has a lot of performances all year long in Sacramento and a number of, you know, rather significant people that are part of them. Share with me some of the highlights throughout the year that people can look forward to.
Well, in the past year, we started at the wonderfully restored cathedral downtown, the Blessed Sacrament Cathedral, and that was an amazing concert of music, featuring cathedral music from Europe.
I was there. It was beautiful. The acoustics, anywhere in that building, mm-hmm. The sound was beautiful.
Yeah, we finally have a great venue for this type of music. And also, of course, Home for the Holidays, our Christmas extravaganza, really builds community, and it draws people young and old who really want to celebrate the season in a true fashion. And just recently, we laid down our version of the Verdi Requiem, and I'm so happy to tell you that we hope to make a CD of that performance in the next month or so. And then we'll finish with Broadway. So it's going to be a great season.
And, Jim, the information again on that Broadway show that's coming up?
Absolutely. I encourage people to visit Sacramento Choral, that's choral.com, or call the Mondavi Box office at 1-866-754-2787.
Or go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have the link to your website right there.
And Tom is being very modest, but I believe your daughter's in the chorus?
My daughter has worked with Don Kendricks for about 6 or 7 years with the society and with the Sac State Choral Group. And, of course, we go to all of the shows. And, yes, and she's fabulous.
Cool. Of course cool. She is.
Jim, thank you for coming in today and telling us, bringing us up to date. It's always nice to have local community groups, and that's the purpose of this part of the program, is to give folks an opportunity. So if you're out there with a community group and you have an event and you would like to get it publicized on the radio, go to travelguysradio.com and drop us a little note, and you will hear from us in the next few days. And, Tom, I know you have another community event that you wanted to bring up today.
I do, but I have to say to Jim, sometime, and we don't have room for all, like, 200 and 25 people in the studio, but if you know, we might be able to accommodate 15 or 20.
Little mini flash mob.
We could have, right here at the radio station, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. Thank
All right.
you, Sports Leisure.
You bet. Bernadette, our board op, who is being subbed today with Mike Murray in the controls, is involved with a light opera that is just kind of fun, you know. There's all kinds of different musical performances, and some of them are just basically all about fun. Light Opera Theater Sacramento is presenting Atlanthea. Now, this is a Gilbert and Sullivan comic opera about what happens when the hereditary House of Peers happens to irritate a powerful group of fairies. And it's, you know, a very unusual...
I'm not even going to touch that.
Yeah. Anyway, they'll be performing through April the 10th. You can get tickets and find out more information about this really fun light opera simply by going to lightoperasac.org. That's lightoperasac.org. And check the Travel Guys radio site for a link there.
Absolutely. So, let's see, housekeeping things here at the end of the program. First thing is to announce the Lucky Travel Club member winners. These two Sports Leisure Travel Club members have until the end of the workday Tuesday to give our office a call and claim $100 in tour certificates. If you are Cheryl Ward or Harold Mattson, and a member of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, you can call us at 361-8687 Monday or Tuesday and claim your prize. And if you are a friend of one of those people, you might want to call them and tell them their name was just announced on the radio and they're 100 travel bucks richer if they get on the stick. And this would be a good opportunity, Tom, to we're doing blatant Sports Leisure Vacations plugs, to thank the people at KVIE Studios. We had a wonderful open house out there Friday and Saturday with over 350 Sports Leisure travelers in attendance to learn about what we sell, and it was a terrific. The folks at KVIE just really turned up the hospitality and accommodated us in their community room and just did everything they could to make us feel really welcome. And I really want to thank David and all the people at KVIE for making it such a wonderful experience. Clayton, I know you work out there as a volunteer frequently.
Yes, I'm. That's my home away from home. I feel very strongly about the mission of Channel 6, and it was really great to not only be able to have our event there, but to be able to expose so many of our customers to the inside of a working television station, many of whom, of course, are also members of Channel 6 and perhaps had never been inside and seen the studios and whatnot. So it was really a great opportunity.
Well, and we really are very lucky here in Sacramento that we have a PBS station that is very highly rated, consistently does a large amount of its own production, considering the size of their staff and the station, and really does very well and represents our community very well. I'm very proud to be a supporter of that public television station, and they really came through for us over the weekend. So thanks to them and to all the folks who took the time to come out and find out what we have to offer for the coming season and the holidays and all of that kind of stuff. Baseball season kicked off.
Yes, go Giants.
Yes, thank goodness for yesterday, because otherwise I was going to have to come in here and eat crow after. But did I not mention a gentleman named Brandon Belt? And a couple weeks ago, about how I thought that, you know, and there is opening day first baseman, so you never can. It's a great thing.
Does Sports Leisure Vacation still have any baseball trips available?
Very, very, very limited. We have half a dozen Giants trips this year, and they are all very close. If not, the Dodger games, I think, are completely sold out. So Giants fever has exploded all over the valley, and the flip side is you can't give away a ticket to an Oakland A's game. So, you have it. Next week on the Travel Guys. We will not have roofs flying off of airplanes, so we are going to talk about fun travel stuff. Ben Schlopik, our blogger, will be along to talk to us. We've got American Road Magazine for an interview, so we're going to take a walk through John Holloway's place. We're going to have a great program.
Don't forget now, everything you need to know, you can find it at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thank you so much, Clayton. Mark, we'll see you next week here on the Travel Guys.
On the road again.